The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
So Batman chewed my laptop power cord. So once my battery dies, my battery dies. And I need my laptop to edit. I don't even know what I'm doing tonight. Like, if my laptop dies and I obviously can't go out now to get a new power cord.
Yeah, you can.
No, by the time...
Go to like a Target or a Walmart.
I don't know. The one that I had to get, this is my second replacement because he's done it before. And I had to order it from Amazon because it's not just a typical one. I don't know why. Point being, I might even just put this episode out without editing.
Wow. Okay, let's fucking go, man. We're about to just do it. Whatever happens, happens at this point. I mean, I don't know. Next time I'll just come down to Orange County and we can do this like two fellas.
You know, you're dreaming really big thinking there's going to be a next time already. We haven't even...
All right. I'm hanging up. We're not doing this at all. I'm done.
Welcome to Jamie All Over. We had a bit of a long journey to get here. 55 minute setup. I don't know if you want me to say your last name or not for privacy reasons.
You can say my last name.
Danny Weldon, because that's how you're saved in my phone. Somehow.
Bizarre.
Yeah, it's really bizarre, and I never changed it. Fellow New Jerseyite. Did you know it's New Jerseyite, not New Jerseyan?
I'm never going to call it a New Jerseyite. That's pretty awful.
It might be the first time I've ever gotten the chance to say it.
I think you should retract it. Let's run it back again.
It's so weird. Anyway, let's tell the story of how we met.
So yeah, that's what actually is going to make this intro pretty good.
Oh, good.
As Jamie mentioned before, we had some serious technical issues. Well, I had some serious technical issues. The night I met Jamie, we were at a friend's song release party at the Belmont in West Hollywood.
Should we give her a shout out?
Yeah, I didn't know if she wanted that or not, but yeah, we should. Everybody should go listen to Lovesick and One More Night by Tori Keith, whose song release party we were at.
Oh, you know what? Yeah. Oh my God, I'll play her song at the end of this. Although she wants to be a guest too, so maybe I should save it for when she's on. We'll see. Anyway.
She's going to kill both of us for having me on before her. I just want to get that out of the way.
100%.
So... Tori, she played the song and she wanted to get the music video going, but there was, again, some more serious technical difficulties going on at the party and everybody's chipping in except for me. I had a bad work week and I think I was working on my 9th Miller Lite at that point. I eventually felt the need to step in and I'm trying to walk over and Jamie just walks up to me. And what was it that you said? You look like you should know what you were doing. You look like the IT guy. And I'm like, what? I'm like, first of all.
AV. What was it? AV, yeah, what was not it? IT.
Yeah, Jamie walks up to me and she's like, you got to figure this out. You look like the AV guy. And I'm like, first of all, who are you? One. Two, what does an AV guy look like? And I'm pretty buzzed at this point, and I just can't get out of my mind. I'm just trying to figure out if this is an insult or a compliment or either. So anyway. Then they actually finally figured it out. I think Brock and Brendan figured it out.
Excuse me. Absolutely not.
Was it you?
Yeah.
Was it you?
Yes.
I don't remember.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
There was like seven dudes trying to figure it out for like 30 minutes. And I was like, okay, I've had enough. I want this to work. Let me just go take care of it. I fixed it in like 2 minutes. I should have.
Final solution was they hooked up the laptop directly to the projector. that displayed the music video, and the cord was real short, and somebody needed to like hold the laptop up in the air closer to where the projector was. And Brendan was like, yo, can you help out? And I'm like, yeah, sure. And I just stick my arm up, and I literally had absolutely no weight on the laptop. I think like Brendan, Tori's dad, and Brock were all holding it up. And then finally, it might have been you or somebody was like, you're not even doing anything. And I'm like, okay. And then I just kind of walked away and went on with my night. But anyway, it's weird how the AV issues have once again haunted us.
Yeah. And it's so funny that you said you didn't know if I was insulting you or if it was a compliment.
Well, like, what does the AV guy look like? Like, if I don't, if somebody was like, you know, if someone was like, hey, you look like a pro athlete, I'm probably going to be complimented. Or, hey, you look like a model. I usually don't get either of those. Apparently, I only get you look like the AV guy. So then I'm on Google mid-party Googling. I'm on Google Images looking for the AV guy, seeing what he looks like.
That's my technique. It's shock and awe. You don't know if you're being insulted or complimented. And I think it worked.
I mean, yeah, it worked. I'm still around, right? Driving you nuts just as much as you're driving me nuts.
So later that night, after I got everything working.
Is this the hero story? Is this the story where I get to be the hero?
Yes. Yes. See, again, this
awesome.
Is.
Sorry, I got a little excited.
This is the Jamie technique. You break them down and then you build them back up again.
You left the phone in there on purpose, didn't you?
I did not. But you know what? You tell it. You're the hero.
I am the hero. All right. So, well, as I mentioned before, I drank way too many light beers that night. And Jamie, being the kind soul that she was after knowing me for no longer than 3 hours, was like, I'll give you a ride home. And I'm like, fantastic. So we walk down the street to her car, only for her to tell me that her phone is missing. And she said she thinks she left it in the bathroom. And my dumbass looks her in the eye, trying to be as cool as I can be and say, I'm not coming back without the phone. And I get out of the car and I full-blown sprint down La Cienega, back into the Belmont, back into the bed. I like, if anybody was in my way, they were getting leveled. And I opened the bathroom door at the Belmont, and like five people were like, hey, did you leave your phone in there? And I'm like, no, my friend did. And they were like, what's her background? I'm like, I don't fucking know. And then it was Jamie and her daughter, which I thought was hilarious and cute, obviously.
Which you didn't know about yet.
And I take, no, I certainly didn't. I absolutely did not. So then I grabbed the phone off the bar, like the bartender put it there, and I just grab it and I take off and I run back to the car. Full-blown sprint. I don't know why I felt like I needed to be so fast that night. Full-blown sprint back to the car with the phone, like the hero that I was that night.
And you still are. And I was really, really impressed. It was one of the first things I think I ever told anyone. I think I was talking to either Sheena or Brett, who was also at that party that night. And they were like, are you okay? I'm like, oh my God, he's so nice. Like, he sprinted back and got my phone. And he said he would not leave the Belmont without my phone. And he kept his word.
I don't know why I felt the need to be so dramatic, but I did. And it all worked out in the end. So I'm happy about it.
I love the dramatics. And it's so funny. Like, now that I'm saying that out loud, I'm just like, wait, and not to take anything away from you doing that, because I think it's so sweet and like gentlemanly, or what is chivalrous.
Yeah.
But that the bar is set so low for LA that it's like, oh my God, someone runs back in and gets my phone. Oh my God, he's amazing. That's where the bar is at.
Jamie, like I mentioned though, whatever I had to do that night to get that phone back, it was getting done. If I had to fight the bartender and get my ass beat, I would have done it.
I appreciate that. And then it was kind of an easy segue to tell you about Ivy, because I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. My daughter. Also, I hardly like meet people in real life anymore. When we met, I had not been dating for like almost a year prior to meeting you in person. And so prior to that, I was meeting people like through Instagram and stuff. My ex-boyfriend, who's also named Danny, DM'd me. He like DM'd me through Instagram. That's how we met. And other people DM me. So because, you know, Ivy is only on my close friends, which you happen to be part of, I don't put her on the public page or anything. So if people meet me through Instagram, there's a very good chance that they don't know that I have a daughter. I always tell them before I meet up, but in this case, it was really cool because it was just super quick and easy to like just tell you, and you were just like cool with it.
Yeah, of course, of course. I honestly, to be totally honest, when I first saw it, I assumed it was your little sister.
Are you serious?
Swear to God, yeah. Jamie, I didn't even think once that it might have been your daughter. I just grabbed the phone, and then when I handed it back to you, you told me.
I mean, I know you said it was cool, but were you like, eh, I'm not cool with that? What are your true thoughts?
My true thoughts after, again, I think my tab was 13 Miller Lights. I did not care at all. The next day when I woke up violently hungover, I was like, damn, that was her daughter. I don't know why I would think any type of way about that. You are super cool. You are super cool. Like, the fact you have a daughter doesn't change any of that, you know?
I mean, no one has ever said to me, like, no, sorry, that's a deal breaker, but I am aware that for some people it could be, you know?
Yeah, no, I get it. I mean,
But I
I
mean,
don't
the
know.
way. Go ahead,
Go
sorry.
on.
I was
No,
just
just
gonna.
like at now we're just talking over each other like a couple real New Jerseyans just never knowing when to shut the fuck up, right?
Go.
Nah, you say what you were gonna say.
Okay. Well, I was kind of like going to segue into something else, which was that the way you and I are talking right now, someone listening may be like, wait a minute, are they dating? What actually happened with them? So I guess we should clarify that we're friends.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, absolutely.
And I don't know what else to say about that, but we're friends.
You could say it.
I will say that you annoyed me at some point, and
Oh, yeah.
I stopped talking to you for a little bit. I was just like, oh, you're annoying me because you're not taking initiative to make any plans. Like, that was my issue.
Yeah, I remember this conversation very well.
And I was just like, I want someone more assertive. And I stopped talking to you for a while. And then what was funny was I had gone back to the Belmont with, you probably don't watch The Bachelorette, but this year they did two bachelorettes instead of one, Gabby and Rachel. So I was there with them and Sheena. And we're sitting at the Belmont. And it was the first time I had gone back there since I met you there. And so obviously it was making me think of that night at Tori's party and everything. And I was just like, oh, I miss Danny. That sucks. We don't talk anymore. And then Gabby, who I was sitting next to, she's like, what's wrong? And I told her what happened about the whole situation. And she was like, I think you should just text him right now and just tell him to come out. I was like, nah, I'm not going to do that. So I didn't take her
Why
advice.
didn't you?
I don't
You know I would
know.
have came.
Of the two girls, Gabby is the one that gave me advice, and I didn't take it. But it turns out, I think Gabby is the one that found love, and Rachel did not. If I was going to take anyone's advice on a dating boy situation, it probably should have been Gabby's, but I just completely disregarded it. And I said it to her face. I'm like, I'm not doing that.
Damn. I mean, as Kanye finished his Grammy speech, I guess we'll never know what could have happened, right?
I guess we'll never know.
I don't know. I feel like we've become like closer since then in a friend way, right? Like we talk
Yes.
all the time and shit. And, I'm always asking you for advice. Do I listen? Probably not. Should I listen? Absolutely. Yeah, no, I definitely think it's made us closer for sure.
Yeah, that just reminds me. So I remember I took you to Sir and to Tom Tom because not
Yeah.
that you wanted to go there. In fact, I think you've said something like that's pure hell for you. But
That's probably.
your father, who has passed away. Interestingly enough, your dad was a big reality show fan. Was your dad Italian or Irish?
He was Irish.
Irish side.
Yeah.
Okay. So imagining like this Irish dude from New Jersey watching Vanderpump Rules blows my mind. It wasn't even like your mom that got him into it, right?
Yeah, it was his own thing. This was reality TV. First of all, my dad was just absolutely nuts. Always has been like the biggest shit talker, which is probably where I get that from. Well, just rip anybody for anything. But anyway, his very guilty pleasure that was a secret for a while was he loved reality TV, specifically Bravo. When he was sick and like his last days, I don't think it was literally like Real Housewives, Vanderpump Rules, Below Deck, you name it, a week and a half straight while I'm just sitting by his side. It was the week of the US Open of Golf, and he's the one that got me into golf. And I'm like, yo, I'm like, can we throw on the US Open? And he's like, no, I'm watching something. And it was just reruns of fucking, of all that stuff. So I don't know. I never really got it. I mean, I tried when I was there because I didn't really have a choice. Yeah, it was his favorite thing in the world was sitting on the couch in his little man cave watching all those shows, which was, it was funny that I met you that night, obviously, because you were with Sheena and Raquel and Brock and that whole crew. And the whole time I'm thinking to myself, like, I don't know, there's still moments this day where I'll literally pull out my phone to text my dad about something. And I must have done it, Jamie, I must have done it like 6 times that night to like tell him who I'm with. Yeah. And like that kind of thing. So yeah. And then obviously when we went on our date, we can call it, right?
Yeah.
You made me go, what was the name of it? Where did we go? I always get them all confused. They're all in the same block and they have similar names.
Well, first we started at Sir.
Yeah.
We were going to potentially eat there, but then I was like, you know, I'd really rather eat at Tom Tom if we're doing the whole rounds. So we just got a drink at Sir and then walked up to Tom Tom and got a ton of food and some more drinks.
We ordered everything.
Everything. What did we get? We got... I'm trying to think. Oh, you didn't try the Impossible Sliders, which are awesome.
Wait, why? I thought we got those, no?
I don't think we did, no. We got cauliflower wings.
We definitely got those.
We got this vegetable, like, hummus platter, which, remember how big that thing was? It took up the whole table. Did we get anything else? Or was, I think it was just those two, right? Or did we get one more
thing? Yeah, we got truffle fries without the truffle because you don't eat Parmesan.
Oh, yeah. How come they couldn't just do the truffle but no Parmesan?
I forget.
Okay.
We'll go back and we'll send my mother a picture.
And your sister.
And my sister.
Who was so sweet, by the way. She donated to the little bear. Donated to the little bear animal sanctuary goat games.
Obsessed with goats.
Well, that's awesome. I so appreciate her. But what I was going to say is that when we were sitting at Sir and you had mentioned that you don't take my advice, we were talking about your job and what you do, which is in media. We won't say what network you work for.
Yeah, it's fine.
You don't like your job.
Yeah.
So yeah, we won't say who it is. But I was like, well, what do you want to do? And you said sports marketing, or what was the other one?
Something like music management, sports management, like marketing. Yeah.
And that week I was interviewing David Meltzer, who was like the biggest sports marketing guy ever, and he's a good friend of mine. And I was like, I need to go to SoFi Stadium and do this interview. Do you want to come with me as my guest? And then I can introduce you and see if there's any positions open. You were like, no, I don't want to take off the day from work. I'm like, but you hate your job. Take a sick day to do this. And you were like, no. And it was funny because in that episode, I mentioned that I had recently been giving a couple of people advice that they did not take. You were one of the people I was including in that. And Dave was like, well, you know what? Sometimes people aren't ready. I don't hold that against you, but I think at the time I was holding it against you a little bit because I was just like, I wish. And again, that goes back to like taking more initiative.
Yeah. Well, you couldn't be more right about that. That Monday, the following Monday, I was sitting at my desk working. And I was listening to your podcast and I knew you were on and I knew you were talking about me. And I was like thinking to myself, I'm like, yeah, that was probably the dumbest thing I could have done is not gone with Jamie. And to be honest, it still haunts me to this day because obviously meeting Dave could have been a huge step in the right direction for what I'm looking to do and moves I'm trying to make. So hopefully one day we can still make that happen. Dave, if you end up listening to this, looking forward to meeting you.
Everything in the right timing, you know, and maybe for whatever reason, it wasn't the right timing for that. And you instinctually knew it. And even though it seems like to other people like, oh, he made the wrong decision, or maybe even to you, like you thought you made the wrong decision. But I also think that everything happens when it should.
For sure. Still haunts me, Jamie. Still haunts me. Could have taken one day off of work and who knows what could have happened. But instead I went in and I don't know.
Well, what's that Kanye song you referred to earlier?
It wasn't a song. It was his, that's actually what I've been listening to for motivation is his Grammy's acceptance speech. Actually, this is a great topic to cover considering what we're talking about. In that speech, he acknowledges that most people realize when their moment was when it's too late. And then he says, you start telling your Al Bundy stories, all your stories start with, you remember when I... People telling like things, cool things they used to do, but nobody cares about what they're doing now, right? It is true. A lot of people's moment, it's too late when they realize when they had their moment. So like, yeah, maybe that, damn, Jamie, maybe that was my moment. And
no.
Now I'm going to start telling Al Bundy stories now, right?
No.
That's not hope. But it's a good piece of advice for everybody out there.
Yeah. So what else have you learned in the last few months? It seems like you've been getting motivation, deep in thought, thinking things over. What's on your mind now?
It's been a lot. I mean, you know, right? Dad died a year ago. Grandma died in the past year. Got out of a 4-year relationship in, when was that, January. And just like, this kind of stuff will really rock you. You kind of got to learn how to deal with it. I wasn't really dealing with it in the greatest ways at first. And being completely honest, you have helped me kind of navigate how to get through it all, especially telling me your story, right? How you were, had a comfortable job doing real estate development, weren't particularly happy with it, quit, started the podcast, got involved in Sugar Taco, and like kind of really taught me like that I'm going to have to take risks that I really don't know what could potentially end up happening with them, but it's the only way things are ever going to change, you know? Nothing's going to change by me going to work and doing the same job that I don't particularly love every day. I'm definitely more motivated from you and the things that you've done. So hopefully in the near future, I'll grow enough courage to start doing things, making new moves, and hopefully living a better life, you know?
Well, I mean, you're thinking about it and now you're expressing it. So those are the initial steps anyway. So the only thing left to do is to do it. So even just thinking about it puts you one step closer to doing it. Also, keep in mind that when I did those things, I had Ivy. You don't have that. Like, you're young. You don't have as many responsibilities. If there's a time to do it, it's now.
Yeah. Your story has kind of taught me, like, if I want change, I got to act. Can't just wait. Can't just wait around for something. Like, it's not just going to come to me. I got to go out there and get it myself, you know?
Mm-hmm. I'm glad you're realizing that. And you brought up your ex-girlfriend. You were in a 4-year relationship. So I want to bring up a question to the listeners. So this was another...
I know where you're going with this.
I'm not going to say it was a point of contention, but it was kind of a discussion. I haven't actually looked at your Instagram in weeks, if not months. So I assume you still have photos of your ex-girlfriend on your page?
Yeah, I do.
You still have him there. Okay. So when I first met Danny, I'm scrolling through his Instagram and I see a bunch of photos with this girl that looks like could be his girlfriend. I was like, wait, does he have a girlfriend? I truly thought you were in a relationship based on what your Instagram looks like. And so I asked Tori, I was like, what's going on with this? Is he in a relationship? And she's like, no, they broke up. I don't know how long ago, months ago, what, back in January?
January, yeah.
Almost a year. And she's like, and Brendan and I tell him all the time, like, that's weird. You have to take those pictures down. She's like, I don't know why they're still up. Your answer was, I haven't had a reason to take them down. Is that still your thought process? Well,
all right. So I'm excited to hear what the listeners have to say about this, because I feel like everybody that's telling me to delete them has a bit of a biased opinion. My thing is, we had a great 4 years together. It's not like she cheated on me or I cheated on her. Like, we had some insane falling out. As much as it sucks now, it definitely was like a great part of my life. So I don't know why I would remove that, you know?
I don't know. Am I the first person to like bring this up to you other than, I don't know if even like Tori or Brendan, your best friend, says anything to you about it or if they only said it to me, but
both of them tell me regularly that I need to delete them.
And what is your response to them?
Same thing I tell you. Like, I don't have a reason to.
Let's say you start dating someone else.
That's like, different. That then, actually, I don't even know. Because, like, Jamie, I have pictures of my ex-girlfriend still that are on my Instagram. And I continued to move on without her. I mean, not nearly as many, but
I think it's weird.
How about this? We're going to take a poll. You're going to put a poll up after this episode gets released on whether I should delete the pictures or not. And whatever the people want, I'll do.
That's fine, but I can already tell you what they're going to say.
What are they going to say?
It's going to be 100% get rid of them.
100%?
I think so, yeah. I don't know. I don't want to assume everybody who listens to this podcast thinks the way that I do, but my opinion on it is that in order for you to, in a healthy way, move on, it's probably not best for you to have those constant reminders there. That's one. And two, out of respect, which is what I said to you, I'm a big respect person. Out of respect for anybody that you start dating.
A North Jersey Italian telling me about respect, okay, Tony Soprano.
There you go. It's important because I want that respect and I want someone to be like, you know, starting fresh with somebody new and I'm open to new possibilities and I don't have this hanging over me from my past here. You don't need to worry. I'm completely moved on. I'm over the situation. And even if you think that you are, it's just, that's fine to say it. But then there's those actionable steps, which mean taking the pictures down. And you don't have to delete them. You can keep them. You can archive them. Or maybe start with getting rid of half of them. You have a lot. Or maybe get rid of the ones where you're actually like affectionate looking like a couple.
Yeah. I mean, Jamie, I really do see both sides. I mean, I'd probably tell one of my boys, like, yo, delete the fucking pictures. I don't know, man. It's tough. Like, you know what it's like being in a long relationship and just like, yeah, maybe I should delete them. It's probably what I should do, actually, now that I'm thinking about it. Now I'm thinking long and hard about it. You're probably right.
And as far as like long or short relationships, I've learned to not gauge the importance of a relationship on the length that it's been. I've had 4-year relationships that were so much less meaningful than relationships that didn't even last a year. And so it's not the amount of time you spend with a person, but how much I think it affects you or means to you or changes you or whatever. Like, I've had several months long relationships that affected me on way deeper levels than 4-year relationships have. But my point being with that is, and not to diminish the importance of your 4-year relationship, I'm sure it was, but I've had, you know, shorter relationships, which my last serious one, when that ended, he unfollowed me. All of his friends unfollowed me. I removed all my pictures of him and we never followed each other on social media ever again. At first, when it happened like that so quickly, and especially like his friends unfollowing me too, I was just like, that's harsh. There's no need for that. We're adults. Why do we have to unfollow each other? We don't hate each other. But in retrospect, I'm like, you know what? That was actually really healthy.
Yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying in the sense of like moving forward, it's probably the healthiest option. But just once I start doing that, like, kind of becomes real, right?
Look what you just said. It becomes real. It needs to become real for you. And that's the first step that you need to take to actually move on. For me, with you was like, well, I don't think he's over his ex because he can't bring himself to get rid of these photos. And you could tell me all you want. You're never getting back with her. You're over her, all of this. But based on optics and action, that's not what I was getting. And obviously, I'm not saying do this for me, but like moving forward in your life and now me as your friend, I am joining your other two friends in telling you that I think it's important to do it. But obviously, I don't want to push you into doing something or sway you into doing something you're not ready to do or you're not comfortable doing. But at least it seems like you're thinking about it in a different way.
Yeah, I think, yeah, I was going to say, I think that I'll know when it's time for me to do that. But like, also, it's been 9 months. So maybe I don't. Maybe it's just something I got to do, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I would say just cold turkey do it all. But maybe it'd be more comfortable for you to get rid of a few that are like, you know, the super affectionate ones. If like she's on your lap or something like that, get rid of those first. Yeah. And just archive it. Don't delete it. Just archive it. See how you feel. In a week, you'll probably forget it even happened. You'll forget it's not up there. And then maybe that'll give you the confidence to do more. I don't know.
We'll give it a shot. We're going to see what the people want. And I'm going to listen to them.
No, I think you should do what you want. I'll take the poll just for fun, although I already think I know what's going to be said. And just so we have an answer. But I think even if everyone said to do it and you don't want to do it, then I don't want you to do it.
I want to hear people's reasons. I don't want just a yes or no.
Okay, you guys. Yeah. All right. If you can add to the conversation of, you know, my reasoning and his reasoning, add to the conversation, DM me and we'll read them maybe next week, and I'll read them to you, like, obviously before next week.
Love it.
So I invited you, which you didn't come with me because I quickly disinvited you.
Yo, that was an insane conversation. Yo, I'm going to tell everybody what you said to me.
Okay.
Let me read this conversation, and I want to hear who's crazy. Give me 1 second. I got to cue these texts up. We talk a lot. We have a lot of conversations. Okay, here it is. You ready?
Yes.
So Jamie texted me on last Wednesday. She says, you want to go to a show premiere thing with me on Saturday? And I said, when, where, who? Just asking general questions. She goes, at the Directors Guild, let me check the time. And I respond, because I was away the previous weekend, and I didn't get to see any of my friends. I said, can I get back to you, or do you need to know now? And Jamie, less than a minute later, responds, oh my God, no, forget it. And I'm like, no, Let me talk to my roommates. We chatted about hanging together this weekend. I want to know if it's a day or a night thing. And I said, please stop yelling because Jamie's yelling at me. And she just completely rips me apart. She says, you should just do an adult thing and not worry about your stupid college frat boy roommate people, party people you see all the time. But forget it. I have a lot of people who would be super happy to go to an event with me. Why were you so mean?
I was. If you continue reading, you'll see. I said I was joking, but like.
Oh, this gets even colder. Wait, no, you got even colder.
Oh, I do.
I respond. Well, I said, "Why are you being like that?" You go. I already asked someone else. So mean. So mean. But yes, you did say you were just going to bring Ivy.
Yeah, she was the someone else. I was kind of messing with you.
Well, I was upset.
You know how we always have these conversations where I'm just like, you have to stop drinking so much on the weekends and being hungover, doing these like college frat boy things because you hate your life, basically. And you're like not always in the best mood. And I was like, you're drinking too much. And not that you have a drinking problem at all. But like when you drink to excess, it depletes you of your serotonin and then like you can spiral and like go into depression for several days afterwards. I know it firsthand. Because you're not in the best mental state and you're not happy about several things going on in your life right now, drinking a lot is going to actually make everything worse. That's why I was like, do an adult thing. Come to an event instead of worrying about the boys that you live with. You have roommates. You do have a beautiful, large house in a very cute area, which, by the way, side note, so weird. One night I did stay over as friends, sort of. And the next morning, you walk me to my car and I see Missy Egan, Melissa Claire Egan, the actress from All My Children, who I used to be good friends with. Back in New York City, and then we moved here when All My Children, the soap opera, moved to LA. Continued being friends with her here, and then obviously when Chriselle and I had our falling out, Missy and I lost touch as well. I see her just walking down your street with her husband. Did they have a baby? I can't remember. Was she pushing a?
They had a, yeah. They were pushing a carriage.
They were pushing a carriage. True. I had no idea she had a child. But like this was someone I was like,
you were being a weirdo. You were hiding.
I know.
You were hiding in your car.
Well, first of all, because it was the walk of shame. Who wants to see like their old friend from years ago looking the way that I did that morning? That's the worst time. And like, oh, what are you doing here? And I didn't want to have that conversation. But it was so weird that she just walked right by your house. How many guys do you live with?
There are six of us total.
That's insane. How many bedrooms?
Six.
Okay, so no one's sharing.
No one's, Jamie, no one's on the couch. The house. Okay. It's large.
I know, it's pretty damn big. Okay. I know like a lot of people make fun of people with roommates, but it's actually a smart financial decision when you're in a city that's ridiculously expensive.
Well, another thing too, Jamie, it's not like we're a bunch of random dudes. We've all been good friends for years now. So that makes it a little bit easier too.
Okay. So my only point with saying all of this and giving this backstory is that I was just like, well, you and I have not seen each other for like over a month now, I would say. You live with them. You see them all the time. I'm hardly in LA anymore. And I'm asking you to do a normal activity that doesn't involve getting wasted. And you're like, well, let me see, because first I have to see about this party with these guys that I live with. Come on.
No, yeah, you're right. Especially yesterday, the conversation we had about other things you got going on and like nobody making an effort to see you down in Orange County, like definitely made me look at it a little bit differently. So yeah, It probably would have been the right thing for me to just have committed and gone with you, but
only if you want to.
I do, though. I would have liked to.
So I want to tell you about the Peeled premiere that you missed.
Let's hear it.
It was the premiere for the world's first vegan cooking competition show. So if you've ever seen Chopped or Top Chef or any of those cooking competition shows, it's like that, but with all vegan food. So I was so happy to be there, and I saw a bunch of familiar faces, a couple previous guests that I've had on the show. So there was Unchained TV that was there, which is run by Jane Velez Mitchell, who was a previous guest. Peeled will be playing on Unchained TV, which, if you don't know, Danny, it's an all-vegan streaming app. So it's like Netflix, but everything is vegan. And then one of the contestants on the show is this girl, Nicole Dursway, who I did a Thanksgiving burrito handout last year. We teamed up with her. She has something in LA called the Martha Project. She serves homeless people. She actually calls it the houseless community. I think it's more politically correct now. I don't know if it's going in that way where you don't say homeless anymore, you say houseless, but she and I teamed up together to hand out some sugar taco burritos, and I absolutely loved her. So she is now a contestant on the show. There's four contestants, and we got to watch the first two episodes at the premiere. She was not eliminated, so she might be the winner, and I'm rooting for her. I was sitting next to James Cromwell, the actor. I don't know if you know who he
is. Yeah, I know
who he is. He was in that movie Babe with the pig.
Yeah.
He's been a huge voice for the animal rights community. He most recently super glued his hand to a Starbucks counter. He wanted to do that to raise awareness because Starbucks upcharges for non-dairy milk, yet they say they're, you know, an eco-conscious company and they're about sustainability, but they are charging their customers more to make the environmentally friendly choice. So he wanted to bring awareness to that. So he was in a Starbucks and he glued his hand to the counter.
It's wild. I wanted to say this earlier. Your podcast, if I remember, back when we first met and I was like looking it up and stuff, it says your bio says something about you not being like a non-something vegan. You're not pushy about it. Is that what it is?
Yeah, it says non-preachy vegan lifestyle something like that.
Yeah, which is great. I remember when you told me you were vegan and then you just continued to talk. I was like, wow, she didn't just tell me how her whole life and brand is based off being a vegan. She just lightly mentioned it into the conversation because, and not again, not that there's anything wrong with this. I feel like a lot of the people who live a vegan lifestyle I know really push it on you and like make it aware that they are a vegan, which it can kind of be annoying. I actually went vegetarian, well, pescatarian, I should say, for a little over 6 months, but I got a chicken sandwich and I cracked. That night you drove me home, you knew I had a steak sandwich in a to-go container and you didn't say a word about it. When I feel like there's a lot of other people who live a vegan lifestyle who would have, instead of us blasting Third Eye Blind the whole way home, I would have gotten a lecture on why I shouldn't be eating a steak sandwich that whole way home. You know what I'm saying?
I think I plant seeds. I think I try to lead by example. I will post things in my stories. I will educate people. I truly believe when it's the right time for anybody, that's when they're going to find the information that they need to find. You know, there might be one little thing that tips them, like they might have been thinking about it and I post one thing and they're like, you know what, this is what I needed to see to go vegan. Thank you. But then there's other people that aren't there. I would love to see a vegan world. I just want less suffering for the animals. And I only want to give my message or education to those who are open to hearing it. If people are not ready or not interested, it's a waste of my energy too.
I do think it's really funny yesterday, though, how I told you I cracked my tooth biting into an ice cream sandwich. And the first thing you did was tell me that it was my fault for eating ice cream. Non-dairy free ice cream.
I said it was karma.
Karma, that's what it was.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
It's your karma. And then I sent you some non-dairy vegan ice cream sandwich options that maybe you'll want to try next time you're at the store.
Just so I know for next time, a frozen vegan ice cream sandwich won't crack my tooth? Only ones with dairy in them do that?
No, because it's purely good karma.
Okay.
You'll only get amazing things from your life.
All right. I'll note that for next time.
I couldn't understand how you cracked your tooth. I'm like, ice cream's like one of the softest things ever. But then you explained it's because it's like a frozen chocolate chip cookie sandwich with ice cream in the middle.
Yeah, you know where it was from, actually? Shout out to
where?
It was a Jersey thing. We got Rita's. You got Rita's in North Jersey or is that only a short
thing?
Whoa.
Wait, where did... How did you have Rita's here?
There's a Rita's on Pico down the street from my house. And my buddy ordered us. There were six of us. And he ordered 12 ice cream sandwiches. Not that we needed half of them.
I thought they only had Italian ice.
No.
I didn't know they had other stuff.
They have their like custard things that are also really good that I should have just got. Because I probably would still have part of my tooth, which I need to get fixed.
I showed the picture of your missing tooth to Ivy. We were cracking up.
Oh, God. What did she have to say?
She said, is he homeless?
Oh my God. No, I'm houseless. I'm houseless, Ivy.
Yes. That's,
stop being
that's
so politically incorrect.
Version.
Yes. Yeah, well, I'll send you an even funnier picture.
You're toothless, not homeless.
Well, I'm going to be both soon.
in a show that your father would know, The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Oh, he would know all about it.
They were doing a charity event for an organization called Homeless Not Toothless. And this organization provides teeth to homeless people. They kept saying toothless, not homeless, which is the wrong way to say it. And probably should not be joking about it.
Oh, no.
In this case, you truly are toothless, not homeless.
I'm going to send you, I need to find it, but I'm going to send you another picture to show her. When I got into a golf cart accident a few years ago and was very toothless.
Okay.
I'm sure she'll definitely think that I'm homeless.
I want to circle back to the Peeled premiere event, because one final thing I wanted to say on that is that there was a singer from The Voice. Do you watch that show, The Voice?
I don't.
I don't either.
Isn't that Adam Levine's show?
Yes, and that's where I'm going with this.
Let's go.
But let's shout out Lowell Oakley, who was a singer from The Voice, and he came and he sang Imagine for all of us, and it was beautiful. Moving on to Adam Levine, who was a judge on The Voice. What is your take on it?
Wait, you said was. Did they fire him? Did he get fired?
If he hasn't been, I assume he will be or not asked back, but I have no idea.
I think the main issue is that obviously he was he's married and had a daughter on the way, right? And like, was trying to name his daughter after her. That's pretty demented, right?
I was not sure if his wife was actually pregnant or if he was saying, like, my future child, I want to name this.
Dude, the one thing that really, really got me and might be the funniest thing I've heard to this day, he texted her and said, I may need to see the booty. Like, what?
Do you believe that he didn't physically cheat? Do you think if he didn't physically cheat, is what he has done still cheating?
It's a very interesting, I don't know. What do you think? I think it's wrong, right? It's definitely wrong.
I have more intel than you do.
Interesting. All right. I mean, yeah, I don't think it's right.
Okay. So pretend I don't have the intel that I have. I think it's still cheating what he did. It's emotionally cheating. It's the same, if not worse, than physically cheating.
Why do you think it's worse?
Because your heart can be involved. Your mind is involved. It's not just a purely animalistic, physical thing. So a lot of women find that to be more hurtful.
Never thought about it like that.
Yeah. So I think what he did absolutely is cheating. Cheating isn't just the physical. If she were to read everything that he sent, she would be completely devastated and lose all trust. That is, in my mind, infidelity. I would be willing to bet he not only emotionally cheated, but physically cheated with a lot of women. So I think that is only a matter of time before it comes out.
Damn. I mean, it's also silly, like, these people with such clout and such a following, you're leaving a paper trail. Like, you're never going to get away with it.
How dumb.
Yeah.
I have mostly female listeners. Let's end on you giving them some advice or helpful hints.
What do I got? Number one. The main thing for me is I don't care how good looking or hot or cool a girl is. If you're easy, I'm not into it. I love a chase.
Define easy.
And I don't mean like sexually, like you talk to a girl once and they want to have sex with you. Like, that's not what I mean. Just you're not always responding to my texts right away. You're leaving me with some anticipation. Only at first I like this though. I don't need a relationship based off this.
Didn't you get mad at me because I didn't respond to you quickly enough?
Oh, I did make a joke about it, I think. I wasn't serious, though. Or maybe I was and was trying to get you to... See, you were doing it right. Jamie, if I acknowledge that you weren't answering right away, you were doing it right. Because, like, you were leaving me with enough for me to be like, why isn't she talking to me? And then I gotta go after it, you know what I'm saying?
My take on this is, yes, I completely understand that men need that chase, and I tell my girlfriends this all the time, but I think it's so stupid that you need that chase, because I think on a deeper level, the reason why some men need that to be interested is because they need to feel that they're getting a girl that's out of their league or that they can't easily obtain. And to them, it makes them think that this girl's value is higher, when in reality, it truly is. Probably is not.
I mean, I feel like that's where my head's at, to be honest.
But it kind of shows insecurity from the men who need that.
Oh, thank you. All right, no, this is what I want you to air, because this is what, something that really bothers me. I want this to be the best episode ever, so do what you gotta do. My biggest pet peeve right now, let's take it back. Post breakup, broke up in January, I went on like 3 dates, I think. Mm-hmm. And in the matter of like a few months, and I immediately realized I wasn't ready to be actually dating again.
Yeah.
Recently, I've been on the apps, as they call them. Mm-hmm. I don't really go on them that much anymore because this is my issue. Why do so many girls on Hinge match with me and then just not talk to you? Like, what the fuck? Like, okay. And one thing, this is something that I've noticed a lot. And tell me if I'm wrong, Jamie. Like, a lot of girls just put their Instagrams into their profile and they'll match with you. So you follow them and then they just won't ever talk to you.
No, that's what all you guys think. Like, oh, I'm not here to like just be your Instagram follower. No, a lot of times you just put your Instagram because like the guy's always like, oh, can I see more pictures or tell me? It's like, no, here, just look for yourself. I don't need to keep sending you in more and more pictures. Relax. Second of all, the reason why girls match with you and then just stop talking is because, going back to earlier in this episode, I said you need to take initiative. You need to be more assertive. If you are just having lame conversation, small talk, people get bored and they're talking to so many other people at the same time. You have to just ask them out.
Okay, but Jamie,
what?
You know me, and tell me if I'm wrong. I am the least boring person. I feel like my personality is probably my greatest trait.
It's not going to translate in a Hinge conversation. It's not. You need to get off the app as quickly as possible. Once guys start asking me a million different things, I'm just like, I'm not here to have a pen pal conversation. Because I don't know if I'm going to like that person either. I don't want to devote all my time answering these questions and talking to them and like putting my energy into this.
Okay.
So many girls feel that way now. On top of it, you're just bombarded. I'm sure men are too, with so many different conversations happening. And the more new people come in, your conversation is going lower and lower and lower on that list. If you don't make a move quickly, like, you're forgotten.
All right. But I've also run into issues where we've gotten off the app and started texting, and I've been like, yo, like, what are you up to this weekend? And then just nothing.
Be like, hey, do you want to do this on this day at this time? And give them at least 24 hours notice. That's all you need to do.
All right.
It's nice to offer dinner. It's nice to say, would you rather do dinner or drinks? Then it's like, oh, wow, like, he offered dinner. But to be perfectly honest, I don't want to sit and eat with a stranger for my first date.
Yeah, you want to hear a funny story speaking about that?
Okay.
All right. So the first date I went on post-breakup, I met this girl at a party and we like made out. And we like talked throughout the week. And I'm like, yo, you want to like get dinner or something this week? She's like, yeah, like, perfect. So I go and I tell my buddies, my boys, I'm like, yeah, like, I'm going on a date this weekend. They're like, oh, where are you guys going? I'm like, we're going to Laurel Hardware for dinner. And they're like, yo, you never go on a dinner date for your first date. And I'm like, why? They're like, because you don't know how it's going to go. Lo and behold, fast forward to that Friday, we go to Laurel Hardware and I somehow managed to spend $225 only for the girl to tell me the next day that she didn't feel a connection.
Okay. I mean, I think it's nice that like you were willing to do that. And I don't think you're stupid or anything like that. If you are going to do dinner, don't do Laurel Hardware.
Yo, she picked it, man. She picked it.
Okay, well, right there, that's not your girl. Someone
fair.
She's probably super young. Was she 23?
Yeah, something like that.
That's why she picked Laurel Hardware. That's so lame. Okay, anyway. Also, don't let her pick the place. You have to pick the place if you're going to do dinner. But also, I don't think you should do dinner on a first date. I think
drinks. That's what I've learned.
There's things that women, I think, generally like. Obviously, there's always the exception. So I'm not speaking for every woman. But me personally, I do prefer the man to like choose the first place and make the plan and choose the time and everything like that. But also what's great and what you did, I will compliment you on this. I think whenever we went out, you may have said, am I going to see you again or something like that, like during the date. I love when you're on the date with someone and you know if they're interested in seeing you again.
I did say that to you.
I love that.
Yeah, for sure.
take everything I say with a grain of salt, you know, and my opinion can change tomorrow on things as well.
I feel like I come to you, though, regardless, like whenever I'm scared or anxious about life, I'll just text you and whatever you say, I'm like, okay, everything's better now.
Aww.
So you could tell me to walk into traffic one day and I'll probably be like, you know what? Jamie is really right about that. I should just jump onto La Cienega Boulevard.
Well, I would never tell you to do that, but I will tell you to get your butt down to Orange County and visit me sometime soon.
I will. I promise.
Great. Thank you so much for doing this. And I know that you. I told you it would be 45 minutes. It's now 8:30. We tried starting this at 6 o'clock. So it's been
all good, dude.
Thank you for being so generous with your time.
Of course. I could do this all night, man. I'm a podcaster now.
You are. You're an official podcast. I'm sorry that your special Call of Duty headphone set did not work. I think maybe you need some real podcasting equipment.
Now you're just blowing me up for playing PlayStation. You know what you're going to outro for me?
What?
Jay-Z. Ugh. Love you. You're a queen.
Yeah. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Far too kind. Yeah. Ready? Let's go.
Can I get an encore? Do you want more? Cook and roll with the Brooklyn boys. So for one last time, I need y'all to roll.
Yeah.
Now what the hell are you waiting for?
After me, there should be no more. So for one last time, nigga, make some noise. Get him, Jay. Who you know fresher than Ho? Riddle me that. Y'all know where I'm lurking, yeah. Can't none of y'all mirror me back. Yeah, hear me rap, it's like Angie rapping his prime. I'm Young H.O., rap's Grateful Dead. Back to take over the globe, now break bread. I'm in Boeing Jets, Global Express. Out the country, but the blueberries still connect. On the low, but the yacht got a triple deck. But when you young, what the fuck you expect? Yep, yep. Grand opening, grand closing. Goddamn your manhole, crack the can open again. Who you gonna find open a hand with no pen? Just draw inspiration. Who you gonna see you can't replace him with cheap imitations of these generations? Hardcore, do you want more? Cook and roll with the Brooklyn boys. For one last time, I need y'all to roll. Yeah.
Now what the hell are you waiting for?
After me, there should be no more. So for one last time, nigga, make some noise. Look what I made for you. Knew if I pay my dues, how will they pay you? When you first come in the game, they try to play you. Then you drive a couple of hits, look how they wait to you. From Marcy to Madison Square, to the only thing that matters is just a matter of years. As fate would have it, J status appears to be at an all-time high. Perfect time to say goodbye. When I come back like Jordan, we're in the 4-5. It ain't to play games with you, just to aim at you. Probably name you. If I owe you, I'm blowing you to smithereens. Concept, I take one for your team. And I need you to remember one thing.
One thing.
I came, I saw, I conquered. For record sales, sold out concerts. So motherfucker, if you want this encore, I need you to scream to your lungs. So, come on.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. Chumba. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.